It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. On this 27th day of October, that means we've got 4 days left, and it is Pork Month. I mean, I'm sorry we haven't talked about this starting October 1st, but I don't know. I guess we were busy. Once upon a time, they were called pig farmers, and now they're hog producers, but I know a lot of guys just like to be referred to as a pig farmer because, it's a wonderful occupation because they grow bacon, and bacon is a pretty important commodity. The executive director of the South Dakota Pork Producers and Pork Council is Glenn Muller. Hello, Glenn.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's pork month in the world, and here we are in you guys, what are you doing in South Dakota for the final 4 days of Pork Month to kind of celebrate?
Well, we've got some events scheduled yet that we're going to wrap up the month. We've got in-store promotions. We're working with our grocery stores and trying to increase the sales for those folks, and which all works all the way through the chain, as we were very well aware of during the COVID incident, that we're all working in this together. So we are working with some grocery stores at this point and hopefully get some additional sales.
You know, when I go to the grocery store, and of course last year things were in short supply, and beef, well, we won't mention toilet paper, in the same discussion with food, but so beef, there's a little sticker shock with beef, but pork continues to be the most reasonably priced protein in the meat department.
Absolutely. That's the message we're trying to get across to our consumers, whether it be the housewife or the restaurant, that we are very competitively priced and we can be displayed in a center of the plate menu and be utilized as a high elegance dish. As we just came back from Rapid City, South Dakota, and had our chef's competition, which we refer to as Taste of Elegance, and had very good competition there where the chef displayed pork using it as a center of the plate entree.
Now, what was your takeaway from that? Well, what are the chefs doing out on the cutting edge these days?
Well, it's just amazing what these chefs are doing. I mean, we have cuts that in the past have not been utilized to any great extent to be featured as center of the plate, such as pork shank, which is very, very tender cut of meat, needs to be prepared properly, and all different utilizations of the tenderloin, the loin, even pulled pork that was very creatively presented for a meal that's very cost competitive at this point in time.
Well, and, you know, when you're, a lot of guys are into smoking their own meat now, have bought a smoker, and pork sure ends up being, or it's one of the favorite meats to smoke.
Absolutely. Pork is extremely delicious and has a lot of versatility. A lot of things you can do with pork on a smoker and or even on the open grill. It works out very, very well and is a good protein source that our consumers can utilize.
Out in Rapid, what was the winning dish that you had during that pork competition?
The winning dish was a pulled pork entree. It was, let me get the title here for you exactly of the dish.
Yeah, because chefs are sensitive about that.
It was done by John Miller out there in Rapid City. It was called Smoked Pork Belly Heaven. And it was a belly dish, and I apologize. The other two were pulled pork, but this was a belly, very tender, very juicy, and as with bacon, very, very tasteful.
All righty. Well, we'll next time we're out. Remember what restaurant he works at?
Yes, he's with the Maple Street Barbecue. Is where he is the name of his business.
All right, probably northeast part of Rapid City there on Maple Street. So, all right. Well, next time we head out there, we'll give his restaurant a try. So, all right. Well, that's on the consumer end, the restaurants and the grocery stores. Let's focus on the barn now. Do we have any new big facilities, whether they're farrowing or feedlots, any new barns going up in South Dakota?
We do. We're still seeing some new barns. We also, during Pork Month, we had a couple open houses here so that people can come out and take a look at these barns. And as you're well aware, with biosecurity, there's not a lot of opportunities for anyone to get into and look at the inside of a barn and how the barns function. So this is a great opportunity when we put up a new barn, and our producers will consent to allowing the general public and anyone else that's interested in building a barn to come out and evaluate their barns and have a look at it and see how modern pork production is conducted.
There's a lot of stainless steel in these new hog production facilities, isn't there? Biosecurity is top of the line.
Biosecurity is a big thing, and it's for protection of the pigs. There's, you know, the concern is sometimes that folks can't get into a barn and find that frustrating, but it's to make sure that we keep any disease organisms out of the barn so that the pigs can stay healthy, and as they are very well monitored for temperature control as well as disease control, that we try to minimize the potential for disease organisms to enter into those facilities.
Yeah, and those pigs, they live they're on the high life. They're living the gravy train because in the winter, we got to go out and it's 20 below. It's perfect temperature in the hog barn all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I often make comments of the fact that the hog barns are monitored more closely than some living quarters for humans, because if we have a board meeting or a producer meeting, it's not uncommon that there can be an alarm go off stating that either the temperature is out of a control range or the air movement's out of a control range, so the producers can get right after it and fix those issues before they become a real problem.
All right. You are a major sponsor of Swine Day next Tuesday at South Dakota State at Brookings. That's a big deal, thanks for being a major sponsor of Swine Day next Tuesday.
Right. We certainly hope producers will take time to show up at the Swine Field Day. It's a great event. It's held in conjunction with the research that's done at SDSU at the Swine Unit, which we were very instrumental in getting that facility built and under construction, which it's now been there for 5 years. And Swine Day will highlight the research that's coming out of that facility, and it's a great day just to interact with other producers and get the latest information on the research that's being done at South Dakota State University.
And, of course, the Pork Checkoff funds much of that research. Where are you headed? What topics are important to you? Increasing survivability, getting larger litters, or growing a bigger pig, or more leanness? What is the focus?
Well, there's several focuses. Right now, the focus would be for the industry is making sure that we keep African swine fever out of the U.S. or any foreign animal disease for that matter. And the research part of that that's being done in the U.S. is, obviously, we don't bring any live viruses into the U.S. It's in the Dominican Republic, which is concerning to us. But we also are, from a research point of view, are looking at longevity for the females in the herd, how we can expand their lifespan and that type of thing. There's some tremendous research going on in that area. But litter size, I think we've kind of capped out on, because the litter size has progressively increased, and we've gotten to the point that I think litter size is probably at pretty much the optimum level that we can hope to achieve at this point.
And to the point where there's no more feeding faucets on the mama. We've got enough babies, huh?
That's correct. Our litter size has just increased. Increase substantially over the course of time, and so that's not really a concern at this point, because litter size is very, very large compared to what it was in the past. When we talk 7 or 8 pigs, it's not uncommon to have 12 or more pigs per litter at this point in our.
And as we so often, your checkoff dollars at work, and there's another example of that. So, all right, well, Glenn, South Dakota leads in many ways in pork production and dairy and some of the other things. So thank you very much for helping all that. I saved the somber subject till last, and you brought it up, African swine fever. How concerned are you? Is it a matter of time before it shows up, or can we keep ASF out of the USA?
Well, we'd still like to think that we can keep it out. We're taking all the efforts possible to to achieve that goal, to keep it out of the U.S. We're also building our protocols as to what we will do in the event that it does come here, so that we can contain it and hopefully eliminate it entirely as we move forward. But at this point, we're hopeful that we can keep it out.
The Beagle Brigade will help, but if anybody is traveling, I know there's some missionary work going down, and people are traveling the world again. They just got to realize that they just cannot go to a wet market or bring sausage or things like that home, something that they like. Got to keep it out of the airports and keep it out of the U.S.
Absolutely. And you know, stay away from the production sites over there just as you would in the U.S. for biosecurity reasons, because coincidentally, it could come over without intent, and we're certainly concerned about any transport from those countries that do have active cases of African swine fever.
All righty. Glenn Muller, Executive Director of the South Dakota Pork Producers Council and South Dakota Pork Producers. Thanks. Hey, checking your website, you got a lot of great recipes. So anybody listening should go to sdpork.org and check out the recipes and maybe enjoy pork. October Pork Month here for the next 4 days.
Absolutely. No, there's a lot of variety of recipes on there and a lot of other information, so feel free to access our website.
Will do. Hey, Glenn, thank you for the visit. Have a good rest of the week.
You too. Thank you.
You are welcome.